Between the words that are spoken and the words that are heard, may the Spirit of God be always present. Amen. So then, brothers and sisters, so then. Trinity Sunday seems an appropriate day to wrap up an interim ministry. Whenever I think of the Trinity, I, being a visual person, see that Trinitarian Celtic knot that appears to have no end and no beginning. In fact, this week, while we were meeting at the Rocky Mountain, I noticed that Lenore, who works behind the counter, was in fact wearing the Trinity earrings. I don't know whether she knows that or not, but it's funny the things that just appear when you're not looking. And then we have this famous John 3:16 at the end of the passage. We see it on bumper stickers and in dugouts at sports games. And in those places, it appears almost as a bit of a threat. Believe or else! But I don't think that's what Jesus meant. Nicodemus comes to him at night. A bit of a risk for him because Jesus has just caused uproar in the temple, flipping tables, making cords of whips, and basically slapping around anybody who was selling anything. He's also, though, performed signs, and people were coming to believe that he was more than perhaps just a wandering hobo healer. Could this be the Messiah that God promised? Was now the time? Nicodemus, too, finds himself among them, daring to believe, daring to hope, but also holding himself back at the same time. This is very human, to hold ourselves back for fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of being wrong. It's never happened to me, but I hear it's a real thing. To hold ourselves back because we're unsure of a person. We find it hard to believe that something might be possible, that something might be good, because we have been disappointed so many times, yet we keep looking for that glimmer of what is possible. There's that great saying, and I believe it's anonymous, hope is the only thing greater than fear. We're always looking for that glimmer of hope. When I arrived here as your interim priest at the beginning of July, 2 years ago, I found a community filled with belief, yet also cautious because thinking about what might be possible might also lead to conversations about what was no longer possible. And none of us want to think about that when we think of our church, especially if there is a treasurer present. Sorry, John. Do you remember sitting downstairs and talking about where we were at as a congregation and looking at models and thinking about what had gone before and all the things that churches are supposed to do and looking at where we were in the present? We asked ourselves, where is the Spirit calling us as a church in Powell River, specifically in the town site of Powell River? And we found that we were often led to the reality of not having enough money or energy to do some of the things that we considered. But then, taking stock of where we were, we realized what we did have. And it came to us quickly that our cup was already overflowing. God had filled it and filled it and filled it, and it was flooding all over the place. We have incredible resources at our disposal, and every single one of us had a part to play. No one was too old or too tired to get stuck in, because we are all beloved and worthy of God's call. I think, in a nutshell, that is what John 3:16 is all about. God so loved the world that we are a part of, and that John writes at the beginning of his gospel that we hear every year on a certain day, which is my favorite, that all things in the world were made through him, through Jesus, and that anyone who believes, who seeks, who talks to Jesus in the dead of night when they think no one is listening, is welcome. Our labels regarding age, energy level, gender, sexuality, race, economical status, none of these things matter. We are unified by this simple belief. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, his beloved, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. The Greek used in this sentence, and I've never been much of a Greek scholar, but I do know this. I do know that the part that says to have eternal life sits there in the text in the present tense. It is not something that is coming after this lifetime. It is something that is then, right now, and always. John says with this one verse, not believe or else, but reveals the nature of the intimate relationship that God desires with every single one of us. God says in this verse, I love you so much that I will die for you. I will take every person that I made through and with my Son, that I made the entire world with, and sacrifice them for you, to know you, to be loved by you. Everything God desires for and with each of us comes through the incarnation of Jesus, and it is as unique as it is similar for each of us. Being saved is simply to be saved from the voices of this world that try to tell us who we are without love or understanding. This unique and similar thing was different for Nicodemus, as it was different for the woman at the well, as it is different for me, and it is different for each and every one of you here, and yet it is also the same. We are all made with our distinct characteristics and foibles. That's probably why this invitation to follow Jesus and all of his teachings contain a huge amount of how to love one another, because we are in the slow learners group, because we are all so odd and weird in our own ways. It is not always easy to get along with what is different, even within families. 3 days with my family at Christmas, and I'll be climbing the walls, despite the fact that I miss them and love them very dearly. And with that, it is a mere 213 days to Christmas. I told you last Christmas that I keep track of this, not because I am completely nuts, but because I love the traditions, and it also reminds me that this walk with Jesus is as much about living in the moment as it is about anticipating the time when Jesus returns to us. This means that coming off the back of Pentecost last week, in the meantime, we rely on the Spirit that has guided us through our prayers and conversations to where we are now as a church and as individuals. Garden projects, plant sales, studies out in the community, Sunday school, conversations with neighbors, invitations to take part. The Spirit has brought us along this way and will continue to call us. The Celtic knot with no end or beginning reminds us that as much as eternal life is now, it is to be loved, anticipated, relished, gone after with gusto and given thanks for. And because it has no end, the cycle doesn't end. The interim time may be over, and yes, you have done a lot of work. But now, a new priest, my good friend Laurel, who I am so stoked will be my pastor, is coming, and a new chapter is beginning. Now is not a time to rest and see what happens from the sidelines. Now is a time to keep loving and encouraging one another. Now is a time to pray without ceasing. Right, Norma? Right. Sorry, Wilmer. Names, still a thing. Wilmer knows. Prayer without ceasing. Now is a time to pray without ceasing and listen for what the Spirit is saying to the church in this small coastal town of really no significance to any of us but those who are fortunate enough to live here. We do not know where the Spirit will lead us over this life. I never expected to be here. But what we do know is that God loved us first. Jesus died and rose from the dead, and the Spirit came to comfort and guide us along the way. And that, my friends, has got to be about the best news I have ever heard. Amen.